Our reporter is Clint Treberg, and he's on the live now, live from London. Hi there, Clint.
Good to be with you again, Pat. And just to think, it was 24 hours ago we last spoke, and there was a lot of anticipation about what would have happened. I didn't think I'd end up with a front row seat to a moment in history myself. I was there in front of Buckingham Palace on the corner of the Mall as the Queen took her last journey through London. And you probably see the images on social media. You can look up Triple M and you'll see the images. I keep saying the word extraordinary, but it's hard to find any more other words that describe it. To see the grand pageantry of something that hasn't been done since Sir Winston Churchill and since her late father, yes. To see it all there firsthand in front of you, every member, it felt like, of the Royal Forces, the Royal Guard lining the streets, and the precision, the pomp and ceremony of it all. Nobody does it quite like the British monarchy.
Yes, absolutely right. And we mentioned that in the intro. You're right that there's such a spectacular on display. And really, it's a reminder for us as Australians that this is part of us. This is our head of state. And, you know, they represent us and we're part of the Commonwealth, of course. So there's that special connection there. And I wonder how people feel about, yeah, what they've seen on their screens. Special moments for you, Clint, from an individual point of view, people who spoke or different individuals that were there. We could see it here in the background, but I'd love some detail about those who spoke and, special moments that you witnessed today.
Well, the funeral itself was like any other funeral, I guess, everyone paying homage and tribute to the Queen, but it had a lot of positivity as well as a bit of sorrow there. It did what I think the Queen would have been happy with in that regard. She wanted to be remembered fondly, and there was songs chosen that were played at her wedding day and then again at the day of her funeral. And the pageant itself really did bring everyone together. It's a bank holiday or a public holiday here in the UK, so people had time to prepare. I met people who'd come on trains for 8 hours and they were there on Thursday. I met a family of four who brought even their little dog because they knew they might be stuck on the journey to and from London, and they wanted to make sure their little dog was okay. And they were just beside me in front of Buckingham Palace waiting for the Queen to come past them. They didn't feel the need that they had to do this. They wanted to do this.
The family that were there from Catherine and William and Harry and Meghan and the grandchildren were there too. I think I read that possibly the little ones, George and Charlotte. So the whole family were there and maybe...
And I saw George Gord go past me. I mean, obviously the moment the Queen's coffin comes past you, everyone's quiet, and then there's an applause as she passed by Buckingham Palace for the last time. But then the eyes quickly turn to the people following that coffin, her immediate children and then her grandchildren. And the little grandchild in the back, George, who would be... I can only imagine what would be going through his head, sitting there in the back of the car with his mum, with his granny, the Queen consort, and his sister, thinking about his granny and the life that she had, and then what's going to happen to his dad and what's going to happen to his life after this.
And it went off without a hitch. You mentioned earlier in our conversation that, right, there was lots of details that weren't revealed before today's funeral. Lots of things all have to work and to sort of be right, as you say, all that pop and pageantry. And it all happened and worked as far as the Queen wanted, because she planned lots of what we saw today.
She did. From the very very first moments to the very last moments, she chose the song, she chose the route that she wanted to go to the resting place that's happening now in Windsor, next to her husband. All the details were planned, all the invites even. The 10 Australians that got to go to the funeral today, they were all chosen by her in where they came from and what awards they perhaps have been won, or what charities they had represented. They were all carefully chosen for a reason. And I did even see our own Australian Armed Forces there represented today. There was a troop of different guards and military personnel from all the Commonwealth areas. Australia was well represented up the front there.
Clint, for those of us who haven't been to the UK or that Westminster Abbey, what's the layout? So Westminster Abbey to the chapel where she'll now be buried alongside her husband Philip and Buckingham Palace. Are they all pretty close by as we see the processions and the funeral being taken from one point to another? Is it all within the same sort of precinct?
Yeah, the start of the journey is definitely it's a walk from Westminster Abbey to Buckingham Palace. A good decent, couple of miles, as they say over here. But it's a decent, lovely walk. Obviously, large streets and footpaths if you're going to do it as a pedestrian. So that walk itself is fine. And then up to the archway, it's a little, maybe half a kilometre more. The journey from the archway where she was put into the hearse and taken to Windsor. Now, that's quite the journey. Think of that as almost near Heathrow Airport. And Windsor is not far from there. That's why Heathrow Airport had to pretty much close down today, because they wanted to, as a mark of respect, make sure the airspace and everything was quiet the Queen's final last moments. And so there was a few flights cancelled, a few unhappy travellers today. But again, in the old British way of keep calm and carry on, that's okay, because the Queen needs some peace and quiet for her final service and resting in Windsor. But yeah, it's just around the corner from Heathrow, so quite the distance from London City.
Okay. 133353, your special moments from the Queen's funeral yesterday and as it continues today, or as we head towards Windsor. Will the Royal Guard follow the coffin all the way to Windsor, Clint?
The family are, and there's another set of Royal Guard awaiting her at Windsor. Of course, Windsor is pretty much a family home. It's a castle, of course, but it's another family home, one of the Queen's most favourite places. That's why Philip is resting there, and that's why she will be resting there. It's got its own set of pomp and pageantry, but most of what's going to happen at Windsor will be the private part of today. There's been enough for the public to be involved with. Of course, we had the line in state for 4 days. We had today's massive celebration that brought in probably a 1 million or so extra people into London, and they all came to pay their respects. Green Park, which is the park just next to Hyde Park and Buckingham Palace, is filled with flowers that, would go on for miles and miles, and everyone's paying their respects and celebrating the Queen's life today. The next few hours are all going to be quite private.
Yes, that's right. So we move into a sort of private phase now at the chapel. What do we know about that ceremony? As I mentioned, Philip will be moved from where he's been laid to rest to be placed by the side of the Queen. There's other people within they're not buried. The coffin is lowered into the ground, or is there sort of some sort of special place
it
where
is,
she's
it
placed?
It is a tomb of sorts where all the royals rest, and her father is there. So it is a very steeped in tradition sort of place where the royals rest. Obviously, not anyone can go in there. And what happens in those moments is a closely guarded secret. It's centuries of tradition, and it is the private time for the family to mourn the loss. Because, for the last 10 days, the world has been mourning, and now is the time that it finally is the end.
Yes.
I guess the UK people, more so than the rest of the world, and of course Australia's involved in this, we have the Thursday bank holiday coming up. Perhaps that's when Australia will finally start to get on and with the new monarchy, the new king. But for the UK, for the people, for the Queen's people, today is the last day, and they begin to get on with it from now.
Fair enough. A bit of closure there, and then we can sort of move forward with the new King, King Charles. What role did he play today, Clint, King Charles? Did he speak or do anything like that?
No, he didn't actually speak in the funeral. It was quite interesting to see many heads, obviously the Prime Minister spoke, and the heads of the church spoke, the head of the Commonwealth spoke as well. But Charles didn't say anything, I don't think that is to say anything about Charles. It's just to say about the, again, traditions and ceremony of who must do what and what must be done. Charles perhaps will be saying something quite private at the family's gathering at Windsor. But today it was his job as the new monarch. And don't forget this, however sad it was to say goodbye to the Queen today, we are seeing a seamless transition to the new king as well. So he played quite a hard role being the son, sitting there closest to his mother's coffin, and also taking on the orb and the scepter and the crown that you saw upon that coffin. Those items will be passed directly to the king today from his mother's coffin. So I can only imagine the pressure and the thoughts going through the king's head.
Well, in a way, it's been a long time coming. He's was it 72, Clint, King Charles? So he has been around it for a long time. So, yes, it's now been handed to him. So we will check in with you, Clint, later on in the program as we head towards the, you know, the end of the program, because there's a little more to come. As you say, there's a private ceremony now, the burial of the Queen at the Windsor Chapel. But it'll be nice to check in later on, Clint. So thank you for your time. Clint Dreeburgh, live from Westminster Abbey and Buckingham Palace and the funeral of the century. 1-333-53, this is The Night Shift. We're taking your calls after this.